It confuses us that you're still listening.
Well, I'm still here.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. That's Michael. I'm Farid Guillo, and this is Squawk 1200. Drone use has exploded in the last decade, and its technology and practices, as its technology and practices mature, we need an evangelist for the species. And Ken Krantz is here. He may be that person. Ken, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be back. New title, Species Evangelist.
Yeah. Well, why not? You know, but we have to be clever about this.
Sure. Sort of, yeah.
Because there's a lot of directors and advocate and everything. You know, we always talk to a lot of different people, so evangelist for the species, there you go.
It's going on the business card.
So aviation safety reporting, it's for drones, but it's also for people. And so why is it important?
Yeah, so it originally was for aircraft. It mm-hmm. started back in the 1970s, the concept. Yeah. The whole idea was to make it so that when people run into issues that in theory could get them in trouble with the FAA, that they have a facility to report that issue, provided that they didn't do it maliciously or on purpose, right? So it's been growing since then. It's been in use, but it was never designed to be used by drone pilots.
Right.
And so
This is the ASRS.
This is the ASRS run by NASA. Yes. There was a third party. They get all the reports. They get to read the actual reports and figure out which ones qualify and which ones then get covered. And the FAA does not have access to that data. Mm-hmm. And the agreement between NASA and the FAA is if they've granted, you know, coverage for a report, then the FAA will not quote go after you for anything you've done. And so, especially in the general aviation area, that's always, you know, sometimes referred to as the get out of jail free card, which
right.
we all kind of hate, but
it's not that simple.
It's not that simple, but you know what, if that gets people using it, right. so fine.
Yeah. But there's a reason why they have the program. I mean, because
right.
Data is life,
yes.
in the sense of improving safety.
Yes. Data is life. And right now, there's, you know, with all the turmoil that's going on in Washington with cutting budgets, the government did put the ASRS on the block for review, which means, and they do that every decade or so
right.
anyway, right? But so they were soliciting comments from people as to whether or not we should keep the ASRS or just fold it up. So, you know, I posted my comment. A lot of other people posted comments. We're hoping to the airplane lords that they don't get rid of it, because it really is a vital service, especially right now. With something else we'll talk about is the, you know, the executive orders by the president to kind of speed up the whole drone process, which is mm-hmm. he wants to accelerate the ability to get these drones in the sky mingling with manned aircraft. So even more are we going to need the ASRS to report issues.
So if somebody wants to advocate to have the ASRS program not to be cut, where can they go advocate for that?
Yeah, unfortunately, the window has closed this far. Yeah. Guys, you should have done this earlier.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Next time we will move Michael
will,
to
I
just
will,
make
yeah.
sure we're in front
I
of that.
I blame you, Michael.
Oh, how about Oshkosh every month?
Sure.
So I make it like Disneyland.
but it does kind of talk about the, you know, you participate in your government.
Yes.
And kind of right. keep an eye on these things.
It's yeah. never too late to, you know, reach out to your local representatives, your senators, people like that, right? But the official period for submitting comments has been closed, and they're going to review it.
When is that review process supposed to finish up?
I don't know. I don't know when they're going to. Typically, it's like a 3 to 6 month process. They have to go through every single, you know, just like any other NPRM, they got to go through every single comment and then make a decision. I know some of the negative comments that I hear from people is it's old, especially from the drone industry. I hear this a lot, you know, because it's a lot of the younger, newer people in the industry, in the technology industry, and they say, oh, this technology that we're using is old and arcane, and it's hard for us to integrate. And they want from drones, they want that ability to just be on the controller, you know, if something happens in the field, to just say, hey, this is what happened, and zip it out to the ASRS. And they're finding, and I know because I helped work on some of the interfaces for that, it isn't easy to do that. because the technology is old, but that's not the ASRS's fault. And in fact, that was part of my comment when I submitted it was, you know, you can't build something in the 70s and expect it to still work in 2025. Throw some money at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything needs updates.
And the manned aircraft, we have to sit down and write a narrative. And
yes.
And if you're going to be a pilot, whether you're a drone pilot or not, this is part of, you know, this is the job.
Right, right. And so that's two of the major things that we did with the drone safety team was, number one, the ASRS was never put together for drone pilots. They didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Drones existed way back, but different, right?
Right, yeah.
So in the actual AC, it used the word manned aviation all over. And the people at NASA didn't feel comfortable necessarily having people submit things for a drone pilot because there was this technical legal loophole because they weren't a, quote, manned pilot. So one of the big things, and I hate to say it took like 2.5 years to get this through, but we managed to make it so now it says droned and manned pilots. And we worked with NASA to make all new forms for drone pilots, because you've seen the forms for, it asks what airspace you're flying in, what certificates they have, and drone pilots were like, I don't know what you're talking about, right? So there's forms now just for drone pilots. We would like to streamline that even more. And like I said, some of the people on the drone safety team want to make it so it's almost like just the press of a button and less narrative, although the narrative really is critical, because that's really where you find out what's going on.
The context is so important.
Yeah.
And now, is this for licensed drone pilots and unlicensed drone pilots?
You know what? It's just like the ASRS is for manned aviators. I mean, you could be just a person at an airport and seeing how luggage is being loaded on the plane and say, hey, you know, that doesn't look right. Then, you know, you don't have to be a pilot at all to fill out this stuff.
We're speaking with Ken Kranz, who's the director of Unmanned Aviation for Cognizant Corporation and also an evangelist for the species.
Yes.
What has changed in the years since we've talked?
Yeah, so the biggest change is that the president has put out 2 executive orders to kind of speed up the whole process of drones, right? So one of them is the Unleashing American Drone Dominance. And, you know, as some people, depends what side of the fence you're standing on, will say
it's
the...
it seems vague, but though what that means is...
What it means is, you know, push the American-built drone industry.
Okay.
Or as people on the other side will say, it's the anti-Chinese drone rule, right? So I'm trying to stand on both sides of the fence, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to report what's going on. But that's really what's going on. Okay. We want to kind of to move that along.
And when was that signed to?
That was that happened this year. Mm-hmm.
So within the last 6 months,
ish.
And have the industry seen any movement on moving drone production to the United States since that was signed?
I haven't seen movement. There's been things going on. There was one company that was partnering with DJI to make it like they were literally taking the DJI drones and.
Reshelling them.
Yeah, literally, they were green, and they were supposedly using data centers that weren't DJI. But I think there was a lot of crossover, so I don't know how well that worked. I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I think really the goal that they want, though, is they're doing twofold, because there's the other executive order, which I didn't talk about, which basically is saying, hey, you can't use any Chinese drones over nuclear reactors, infrastructure, blah blah blah, you know, search and rescue, all that stuff, which just narrows the field down. I do know one thing that I've heard in the industry is that DJI sales in the United States have dropped significantly, almost to zero, I've heard. I haven't been able to verify that. But you ask, have we seen anything that's changed? I just heard on Pilot Institute's weekly report just this morning that DEXA has just gotten permission, you know, the ability to fly drones and do package delivery across the United States. They have a waiver to do that anywhere. And that's huge, right? So that puts them right up there with like Amazon and Wing and Zipline, right? They have type certificates. So all of these things I think are going to start falling into place, especially getting the airworthiness certificates for these aircraft. But that doesn't mean for the other drone pilots who are out there who have like DJI drones and stuff, you think that you're just going to go out and start delivering packages now, because it doesn't work that way, right? Because they work off of the Part 15 FCC requirements. So they're really good for like 2 miles. And they don't have necessarily the redundancy. They're not the kind of drone that you're going to send 30 miles away to deliver a package and have it come back. That really is going to require a different type of pilot, different certificates. You're most likely going to have like a ham radio operator's license, just like we used to remember in the day when I started flying. We used to have to get radio operator's licenses, right?
So still required if you're going international.
If you're going, absolutely. Yeah, that's very true.
So there's this tug of war between sort of a pseudo national security thing and just market forces that are kind of going on with all this.
Yeah, you can say that we're trying to tip the scales in the United States' favor against China. There's really no other way to put that.
And you in the middle just trying to keep a consistency for the people who are trying to use this industry.
We're just trying to make sure people can get work done.
Right.
Especially, I feel bad for a lot of the smaller drone companies out there who've gone out and invested a lot of money in DJI products, and they're going to find they're not going to be able to fly it in certain areas, and then at other, you know, especially for enterprise use, some companies are just going to hear this and say, don't bring DJI drones on my property, just because they hear that they shouldn't be doing that. Right.
Right. And so, it's getting that sort of, is there a kind of a clearinghouse for kind of keeping track of some of this, like a website or?
No, well, I'm sure there is. I don't know.
But yeah.
And it's all
they need to listen to EA radio all the time.
And it's all very dynamic right now. We really don't know what's going to happen. So the government says they're going to clear the, you know, that's the executive order. Clear the way. They don't want the waivers. And I agree. The waivers are a major pain because I could write one waiver and send it to two different FISDOs and get two completely different answers, right? It can be very arbitrary what they say. I hope they don't remember who I am.
Ken, I remember who you are, and I want to thank you for coming this year again.
Yeah, okay, just don't tell the FAA I was here.
Ken Kranz,
we'll keep it a secret.
Evangelist for drones, and he is also the director of unmanned aviation for Cognizant Corporation. Coming in next on the fly from Warbirds, you're listening to EAA Radio.